This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Power restored in Atlanta. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka, on this Monday, December 18. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A power outage that lasted nearly 9 hours left passengers stranded on planes and in darkened terminals at Hartsfield-Jackson International yesterday. Operations will still be affected today.
Republican leaders are optimistic they can put tax reform legislation on President Trump's desk this week.
Even though he's frustrated by the investigation, President Trump says he has no plans to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller.
And the travel industry, including airlines and hotels, ramping up efforts to stop human trafficking.
What we're seeing is airports, airlines, hotels, others in the travel business are really stepping up efforts to both train their own people to spot cases of human trafficking and alert their customers.
Wall Street Journal travel writer Scott McCartney on the big new push against human trafficking. So much for Sunday dinner with the family if you were trying to fly home from Atlanta yesterday. More than 1,000 flights were canceled at the world's busiest airport when a power outage that lasted 11 hours left people stranded in dark terminals or sitting on planes.
There was no one in there explaining anything. They didn't do anything to take care of it.
Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International lost power mid-afternoon and finally got it back just before midnight last night as one of the busiest travel periods of the year got underway. Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed.
I want to express my sincere apologies to the thousands of passengers whose day has been disrupted in this manner. We certainly understand that the outage has caused frustration and anger.
The outage was blamed on a fire in an underground facility. Delta is canceling 300 more flights today on top of 900 yesterday. United, American, Southwest, also among the big carriers affected. All passengers had safely disembarked from aircraft by approximately 10 p.m. or 9 hours after the outage began. We could have significant changes to the U.S. tax law in place in the next few days. The Senate could vote on a compromise package as early as tomorrow, and President Trump could sign it into law by the end of the week. Texas Senator John Cornyn was on ABC's This Week.
We think the Senate bill made some substantial improvements over the House bill, but we'll work through those when we get to a conference committee with the House. But the goal is to get the economy growing again, to get people with a little more take-home pay.
Measure is expected to add at least $1 trillion to the national debt over 10 years. The bill would cut the corporate income tax rate from 35% to 21% and create a 20% income tax deduction for owners of pass-through businesses, such as partnerships and sole proprietorships. For individuals, including middle-class workers, there's a roughly doubling of a standard deduction that does not require itemization, but there's also the eliminating or scaling back of other popular itemized deductions and exemptions. President Trump says he's not planning to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Returning from Camp David last evening, Mr. Trump told reporters he's not happy with the way the investigation is being handled and that transition emails were improperly turned over to investigators. He was responding to a complaint that the General Services Administration had turned over to investigators thousands of pages of emails to and from Trump transition officials. The GSA is responsible for running presidential transitions, and the Trump officials were using government email accounts.
There is absolutely no collusion. I didn't make a phone call to Russia. I have nothing to do with Russia. Everybody knows it. That was a Democrat hoax. It was an excuse for losing the election.
So far, there have been guilty pleas by former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and campaign foreign policy advisor George Papadopoulos for lying to the FBI. Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort and his deputy have been indicted for their activities lobbying for foreign governments, including Ukraine. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you could be with us. Welcome into Monday. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt isn't just dismantling the Clean Power Plan and other high-profile environmental programs of the Obama era. He's on a mission to re-engineer the agency's culture by returning power to states and away from the Washington bureaucrats and coastal elites he said have led it astray. It's a story by USA Today Washington correspondent Ledge King. Ledge, what'd you look at?
You know, a lot of people focus on his wanting to do certain steps like the Clean Power Plan, get away from the climate change agenda that Obama had promoted vigorously, and instead look at some of the cultural things he's trying to do with the agency. And a lot of people are not necessarily talking about that as much, but he's doing a lot of things with the inner workings of the EPA that could have lasting impact for many years.
Like what, for example?
One of the things he's doing is he's shaking up the science advisory boards that are influential in shaping the policies that come out of EPA. So he has, for example, made a prohibition on people who have been accepting grants from the EPA and being on the science advisory boards. There are about two dozen of them. And he says, you can no longer do that. You can no longer accept our money and be on this board. And a lot of people who sort of traditional environmental community view that as an attack on people who have been guiding the Obama, who guided the Obama EPA. He's also trying to get more industry and geographically diverse members on that committee so that more people from the West, more people from industry, more people from academic institutions that are not sort of the coastal elite, as he might describe them.
Okay.
That's one thing. He's also instituted what's called a red team, blue team approach to climate change, where he is having staff inside the agency challenge a lot of the assumptions of climate change and not accept what is universally accepted as that climate change is increasing and it is primarily caused by humans.
Mm. What is the sue and settle approach that he wants to get away from, too?
One of the things that Obama did was when environmental groups would sue over a law or a rule that came out of a law that they did not think was particularly environmentally friendly, they would sue the agency on it, and the Obama administration would often settle with the environmental group to make the lawsuit go away. Opponents of that, like Pruitt, say what happened was that it was done with a wink, but the Obama administration wanted the lawsuit to come in, and they wanted to settle in a way that was favorable to environmental groups because that was what the president and his allies supported in the first place.
Goodness.
But because the law wouldn't allow that, of course, the Congress is Republican-controlled, so they write a lot of these laws. This was a way to sort of get around the law. At least that's what Pruitt and his allies say. So they're doing away with that approach.
Okay. We're speaking with Ledge King, Washington correspondent at USA Today. His piece is called Scott Pruitt on a Mission to Change the Culture of the EPA. So a year in, what's it been like, I guess, from the inside, the folks who are, I don't know, you know, star lifers at the EPA?
Well, there's we hear from and read about a lot of employees that are unhappy but keeping their heads down. I mean, it's been such a cultural change from what it was under Obama. Hundreds have left under buyouts or resigned. So there's definitely a realization that this is not a passing phase. If you don't like the direction that the agency is going, you either hunker down or you leave. There's that kind of feeling in there.
Thanks, Ledge. USA Today, Washington correspondent, Ledge King. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, just as we enter the busiest travel period of the year, a 9-hour-plus power outage caused by an electrical fire hit the busiest airport in the nation at Atlanta-Hartsfield. The lights went out just after one, halting operations and plunging terminals into darkness with a full ground stop that snarled travel across the country.
Everything was calm until they stopped us in the concourse, and there wasn't a real plan of action. We were told there was smoke further down at the concourse, and of course that wasn't the smartest thing to say to a group of people that had just left a plane for 4.5 hours.
Thousands of confused passengers, dozens of planes stuck on the tarmac after the outage struck, and after waiting for hours, multiple airlines had to deplane passengers by sliding them down air stairs. Despite rampant rumors to the contrary, President Trump says he's not considering firing Special Counsel Robert Mueller over his Russian collusion investigation. A reporter even asked him directly.
No, I'm not. No. What else?
A lawyer for the Trump transition team has accused a federal agency of illegally and unconstitutionally turning over thousands of emails to the special counsel's office, but Mueller's team maintains the process was proper. Officials ordered another 12,000 people to evacuate in the path of the Thomas Fire in Santa Barbara County. Fire spokesman Steve Concialdi.
We're the third largest fire in California's history, and we're probably going to hit number two fairly quickly.
But some progress was made. It is now 45% contained, even as strong Santa Ana winds keep removing moisture and propelling embers. The UN Security Council is considering a draft resolution that any change to the status of Jerusalem has no legal effect and must be reversed. The vote could come as early as today. Congress expected to vote this week on the most far-reaching rewrite of the U.S. tax code since 1986. It would shrink corporate taxes, push companies to return trillions in profits they've kept overseas, cut taxes on wealthy estates, and drop taxes, but only temporarily, for individuals. Well, another cruise line sickness incident after Royal Caribbean confirmed more than 300 passengers came down with a gastrointestinal illness on a 5-night cruise out of Florida last week. Nobody is saying it was the dreaded norovirus, but the cruise ship, the Independence of the Seas, will be getting a thorough cleaning before its next cruise. Love the smell of Clorox.
Oh, man. Just curled up in your cabin for a couple of days, fighting some GI problem, right? What a
Can
way to cruise.
Can you imagine?
Yikes. Thank you, Rasa. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Dell's dedicated small business advisors mean you'll always get the right solution for your business. Get up to $300 off select servers and business PCs with Intel Core processors. Visit Dell.com/small business or call 877-BUY-DELL. If the new tax bill passes, it won't go into effect until next year, but the cost of doing your taxes may still go up this year. MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna says if the plan does pass, some tax preparers may try to make the case that they can charge more. Maria, what are you hearing?
So one thing that I talked to some tax preparers who were saying, yeah, you know, it actually does take us more time if there is some kind of new tax plan. So, you know, we may be spending a lot more hours working on tax preparation next year, you know, again, depending on the outcome of the bill. But, you know, if there is a new plan, we will have to update what we do and you know, not only that, but also understand all the ins and outs of a new bill. So they may end up putting in a lot more hours. Whether or not they actually pass cost of that along to consumers will be different because, you know, they're obviously trying to stay really competitive, and tax preparation is a very competitive business. So they might not necessarily pass that along because they don't want to be seen as tax preparers who charge more. So, you know, it may end up being a situation where they are really putting in way more hours and staying really busy, but also trying to keep their costs low and not actually, you know, charging appropriately for that. So it'll just kind of depend on what they're able to do, I guess.
I thought filing taxes was going to get easier.
Yes, so that is one thing that the Republicans have been saying a lot, and a lot of experts do agree with that because it does, you know, limit the number of tax brackets there actually are. So, you know, even during when the bill was being proposed, a lot of Republicans were calling it, including Donald Trump, were saying, you know, it's a postcard system. It's so easy that you can basically file your own taxes on a postcard. And while that may be true for some people who will probably take the standard deduction instead of itemizing, it is anticipated that more people will just take that standard deduction. But regardless of that, there are still some provisions that are a little bit complicated, especially for people who are business owners. And, you know, just any change can be a little bit hard the first time you do it.
We're speaking with MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna. Her piece is called "Will Tax Preparation Cost You More Next Year?" When you factor in the potential of tax reform legislation passing Congress and being signed by the president. And the IRS offers at least some services for free, right, on their website?
Exactly, they do. And that depends on what your income is. So if you actually visit the IRS's website, you'll see, you know, if you're under a certain amount for your income, you can file one way. And if you're over, you'll have to file a different way. But they do. And for people who have very low incomes and for people who maybe are elderly, there are also volunteer tax sites that you can visit where people who are either professionals or, you know, just trained volunteers will actually help you prepare your taxes as well, completely for free. So, you know, if you don't have a super complicated tax filing to do, it may pay off to just either try to figure it out yourself or visit somewhere where someone can help you free of charge.
Thanks, Maria. MarketWatch personal finance writer Maria LaMagna. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Give your employees the power to do their best work and maximize this year's budget when you update to new, powerfully performing Dell Business PCs with Intel Core processors. Dell's dedicated small business advisors mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution for your business. Get up to 35% off select business PCs now until the end of December. Did I mention there's free shipping? Visit Dell.com/small business or call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. ThisMorning@CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday, December 18, Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: power restored at Atlanta's massive airport, though ripple effects will remain today. Republican leaders believe tax reform will pass later this week. CME Group began trading Bitcoin futures last evening. Carolina Panthers owner Jerry Richardson is selling the team after allegations of workplace sexual misconduct. Owners of certain Chevy and GMC pickups will start receiving recall notices today about fuel tank problems. And the Colorado couple giving away Christmas trees to those in need. That story in about 20 minutes. Keep an eye out for this next time you're flying. Airlines, airports, and the Department of Homeland Security are stepping up efforts to thwart human trafficking, which is transporting people for forced labor or commercial sexual exploitation. You'll see a lot more warnings and be encouraged to learn how to spot the crimes they may be sitting next to on flights. It's a story from Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. Scott, what are we seeing?
Well, what we're seeing is airports, airlines, hotels, others in the travel business are really stepping up efforts to both train their own people to spot cases of human trafficking and alert their customers. So if you travel, you go through an airport, you're going to see more and more signs both educating people about human trafficking and offering a phone number for people who are victims of trafficking to call when they get a chance.
Wow. So I know you pointed out, I believe, kind of the gate agents or the ticket agents as well as flight attendants. What are they looking for?
Yeah, I mean, even the folks working the taxi line out in front of the terminal and the baristas at the airport Starbucks, what they're looking for are situations that just don't feel right. People who are extremely nervous about their traveling companion, they look for people, they try and engage in normal conversation, and people are defensive, won't make eye contact.
They look for people who don't know where they're going. Often victims of trafficking just aren't told where they are, where they're going. People who don't have their control of their own identification or tickets. And the airlines look closely at people who buy one-way tickets with cash. That's also a telltale sign.
Was it a flight attendant on one airline who spotted a passenger with like just greasy hair and like told her to go to the bathroom and she left a note for her or something?
Yeah, and there have been several cases like this, but this one was right before the Super Bowl in 2016. It was a Alaska Airlines flight from Seattle to San Francisco, where the Super Bowl was. And it was a teenage girl who was kind of unkempt and greasy hair and traveling with a very well-dressed middle-aged gentleman. And the flight attendant thought, well, this is kind of odd. They don't look like they go together. And so she tried to engage in some simple conversation, and the man was very defensive. And so she was able to whisper into the teenager's ear, go to the bathroom. And before the teen went to the bathroom, the flight attendant left a note in the lavatory. And on the back of the note, the child wrote, "I need help." Wow. So the flight attendant, through the captain, notified the San Francisco authorities, and police met the flight, and the man was arrested for human trafficking.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. His piece is called "A New Push Against Human Trafficking on Flights." What about the potential here for false accusations, however?
Yeah, there's a lot of potential for that. The folks involved in this field say the training really does help avoid that. Delta Airlines, which has been a leader in this, says they always have their employees double check with another employee. So two employees have to concur before they actually report something. Okay. And that way you kind of, there's a little bit of a safeguard on sort of the overzealous employee mistaking something. But there have been cases, particularly fathers traveling with children alone, just cases of mistaken identity. I think what the advocates say is it's more important to take the chance that there really is something bad going on and apologize if somebody is questioned unnecessarily.
What about hotels? You mentioned them. What are they doing on their part?
Yeah, I think we're seeing more and more at hotels. There's a group that's trying to that's offering soap to hotels. So soap with the anti-trafficking national hotline printed on it. One of the issues here is you have to get this number, which is designed to be memorable, 888-3737-888, and you want it to be in places where a victim could write it down privately, although that's fairly dangerous, but just take some time to memorize it. So the Las Vegas airport has put it on all 900 of their bathroom stall doors, and some hotels are talking about whether to just have the number imprinted on bars of soap. So that when a victim uses the bathroom, they could very secretly see the number.
Wow. How about that? Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. It is 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, This Morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's the end of the line for a ghoulish holiday tradition in Ohio. The zombie nativity scene outside of Cincinnati will soon come to a close after the homeowner who puts it up said he won't be doing it next year. Jason Dixon said he originally wasn't planning to install the display this Christmas season, but relented after he got hundreds of emails from local fans. Dixon installed the display, complete with Zombie Mary and Zombie Baby Jesus, in early December. He said he'll put it in storage or sell it after it's taken down sometime after this Christmas. When it debuted 4 years ago, the nativity scene made news worldwide and was met with both scorn and celebration. The township even took Dixon to court for alleged zoning violations, but eventually dropped the case.
Just trying to make up anything to get rid of this thing, yeah. Right? What kind of zoning violation?
Right, and I guess he didn't give up the fight quickly, so they said, look, we just don't have the time, money, energy to sort of invest in this, so we're just going to let it go.
Kind of turned out to be a draw.
Yes.
They wanted it gone in year one. It lasted, 4 years?
And now he's sick of it, basically. Yeah, right. He's sick of doing it. It's probably a lot of work, to sort of drag that out and put it up every year, right?
And listen, you and I, get the occasional hate emails, for whatever. So, you develop a thick skin. But if you're not in that kind of business, I'm sure it can be emotionally exhausting for him, too.
Right. As many emails as he gets from people wanting him to put it up, he probably gets as many people wanting him to take it down.
Exactly.
And lots of cross looks when he's out at the grocery store and that kind of thing.
True.
And 'tis the season, Gordon, for wonderful holiday smells, from Christmas trees to gingerbread. This, however, isn't exactly the kind of smell that puts you in a holiday mood. North Carolina environmental officials are investigating an offensive odor in multiple neighborhoods that residents compare to cat urine. Wilmington officials confirm the agency has received several complaints about a cat urine-like odor in one neighborhood in the city. They say the odor is believed to be the result of a facility or a mixture of facilities dealing with industrial chemicals, but the exact source is difficult to pinpoint. The smell was said to be the worst over Thanksgiving weekend. Residents are being asked to quickly notify officials when they detect stronger than usual smells.
Wow.
So, honey, why don't go out for some fresh air this evening?
Yeah. Yeah. So, speaking of cat urine.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We had a rescue cat.
Yes.
First night we got him. Was afraid to go past the dogs.
Right.
To get to the litter box. Peed on the couch.
Boy.
Yeah. So, I looked at the warranty of the couch. Said, repairs most things.
Right.
I dumped a bottle of wine all over the couch and called and said, I'm going to need this thing repaired. They came out and cleaned it. Guess what? Didn't help the cat urine.
Oh, boy.
Smell of wine was gone. You cannot conquer cat urine.
Let this be a lesson. Wine does not get out cat urine. What does, exactly?
Nothing. Flames. That's about it. And then you've destroyed the couch. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Americans may send as many as 2 billion packages over the holidays. Will they arrive in time for Christmas? Moneyish.com has put together a list of the final dates you have to order or ship by if you want your package to arrive on time or before Christmas Day, which is a week from today. If you opt for FedEx, you can wait until the day of and still get that present delivered, as the shipping company offers same day delivery on many packages December 25. But if that's too risky, ship by today. The deadline for regular home delivery for UPS and the Postal Service, the last day to mail in time for Christmas, is December 22. Amazon's deadlines are December 24th by 9:30 a.m. local time for same-day delivery, 9:45 p.m. that night for two-hour delivery. At Nordstrom, the deadline for delivery by Christmas Day is December 22nd at 12 noon. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Oh, Gordon, a chaotic start for holiday travelers at America's busiest airport. Thousands trapped in dark terminals at Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson Airport when a blackout crippled operations there yesterday and caused a ripple effect at airports across the country. Baggage trapped, escalators and inter-terminal trains frozen, with stores unable to sell so much as a bottle of water as travelers wandered aimlessly in search of cell phone signals.
Now we're all just waiting to get out of here. It's been a complete nightmare.
Atlanta Mayor Kasem Reed says an electrical fire delivered a double whammy to the main and backup systems.
Because of the intensity of the fire, the switch which accesses the redundant system was damaged, which caused a damage to 2 systems rather than 1.
Even air travelers who didn't have Atlanta on their itineraries could face delays this week as the air system recovers from the system-wide disruption. Republicans appear to be in a position to pass their tax overhaul plan this week as key holdouts among their own caucus express their support for the newest bill. Corporations get a massive permanent tax cut from 35% down to 21%. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's office is pushing back and defending its work as following appropriate process. after a lawyer for President Trump's transition team accused investigators of improperly obtaining emails from transition officials. Tens of thousands of those emails now in Mueller's team's possession include messages from Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner. Sarah Palin's oldest son, Track, was arrested over the weekend on domestic violence charges in Wasilla, Alaska. According to online court documents, the 28-year-old Iraq War combat veteran was arraigned yesterday on 3 counts of felony burglary and misdemeanor reckless assault and criminal mischief. The Thomas Fire is now the third largest in California history, pulling back slightly from its threat to now mostly evacuated Montecito, which boasts the mansions of Oprah Winfrey, Ellen DeGeneres, and other celebs. The blaze has scorched over 270,000 acres so far, an area larger than New York City. And did you see it?
Something inside me has always been there. But now it's awake. And I need help.
Star Wars The Last Jedi needed no help getting folks to the theaters. Saturday's and Sunday's box office take pushed the film to $220 million for its first week and the second highest domestic opening of all time.
In my 16-year-old son's lengthy and detailed review of the movie...
No spoilers.
He said it was good. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Cold recent Colorado morning, families lined up for something to warm their holiday, a free Christmas tree. Heartwarming story out of CBS News in Colorado Springs. The trees were all donated. Each family got one. Then a volunteer helper took them upstairs into a Christmas tree wonderland of donated ornaments and decorations, and trees became centerpieces, all organized by David and Michelle Fine of the Christmas Tree Project, which started with a one-line ad on Craigslist 8 years ago. It read, "Free Christmas tree for a family with children." They got 20 responses in an hour. One of the first to respond to the ad was Felice LaCorey. She heads up Rocky Mountain Kids, a nonprofit that houses children and teens in the foster system. There are 5 such homes. Each one gets a tree. The Fines, by the way, estimate they have given away more than 2,000 trees over the years. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.